This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Great to have you here on this Wednesday. 76 now. Tonight, low 48. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, right back to 78 as a high, low 55. Friday, some thunderstorms, high of 76. And then the weekend is when we hit the 80s. So it's going to get nice and hot. Well, you've heard for years now that you need to reduce your salt intake. My next guest says that is a myth. In fact, he says one of the solutions to our chronic health diseases is to increase salt intake. He is one of the country's leading cardiovascular research scientists. Dr. James DeNicolantonio is with us. He's the author of the new book, The Salt Fix. Find him at thesaltfix.com. Dr. DeNicolantonio, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Yeah, and what led you to want to write about salt?
Well, I mean, I've always been into fitness. In high school, I was a cross-country runner and a wrestler, and I always knew that if I wasn't getting enough salt, my performance dramatically suffered. And so I was always suspicious that there really wasn't any good evidence to restrict our salt intake. And when I actually started going through the literature, there's never been a single study that's ever proved that cutting our salt intake will lead to a reduction in strokes, heart attacks, or will reduce mortality. And there's actually a lot of harmful effects that can happen when we cut our salt intake. And the average person in America is consuming the caffeine equivalent of about 4 cups of coffee a day, and you lose about an entire teaspoon of salt out in the urine if you consume that much coffee in a day. And so we're told that we're only supposed to be eating 1 teaspoon per day or less, and yet we can be losing more than that by just consuming the average 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day.
So, I mean, what happens to us as we're undernourished with all this salt? What happens?
Yeah, so as I cover in Salt Fix, I dedicate an entire chapter about symptoms, what happens. But basically what happens is your blood volume becomes depleted, your heart rate is increased, your cholesterol levels go up, your triglyceride levels go up, the fat-storing hormone insulin goes up to help the kidneys hold on to more salt. And all these artery-stiffening hormones, like angiotensin, renin, aldosterone, those skyrocket. And we actually block those hormones with medications to reduce cardiovascular events. So this is like a recipe for a stroke or heart attack. And that's why almost all the population studies show that people who eat the lowest amount of salt actually are at the highest risk of cardiovascular events.
Where did that come from, by the way, this theory that we need to reduce salt intake?
Yeah, as I cover in my book, The Salt Fix, I actually go back through the history of actually how we got here, dealing with this nutritional whiplash that everybody's kind of, we're trying to wrap our heads around. Well, where did the original low-salt guidelines come from? And it actually stems from the 1977 dietary goals. And they were based on only a few expert opinions. There was no requirement for a systematic review or meta-analysis of clinical studies. And that opinion and dogma just assumed that salt was bad for us, and it's carried over every 5 years into the U.S. dietary guidelines. Mm-hmm. And that dogma just kept carrying over from 1980 to 1985 to 1990 to where we are today every 5 years. And until, I've revealed in my book all the harmful effects, we've just always focused on blood pressure and never looked at all the harmful effects that happen.
I want to ask you about that specifically. Dr. James DeNicolantonio with us. The book is The Salt Fix. What about high blood pressure? Does salt increase blood pressure?
That's a great question. So people who have high blood pressure, when they cut their salt intake, it's been shown that their platelets actually become more activated and their blood viscosity actually increases because it drops their blood volume. So the reduction in blood pressure that you get with a low salt diet is pretty much like cutting water intake. You're just depleting your blood volume and becoming dehydrated, and that's why your heart rate's increasing. So in general, a reduction in blood pressure does not necessarily mean that that's a beneficial effect, even in people with high blood pressure. And what I go in the book, The Salt Fix, I talk about how a lot of people with high blood pressure, the reason they have high blood pressure and the reason why they might be retaining too much salt is not the salt, it's the sugar that's increasing the fat-storing hormone insulin, causing your body to retain more salt. Cut the sugar, you'll fix your insulin resistance, and you'll fix your quote-unquote salt-sensitive high blood pressure.
Okay. So how much salt should we be consuming a day, then?
Yeah, so, I mean, I discuss all the numerous disease states and numerous lifestyle factors that deplete salt in the book. and who needs how much. But basically, it comes down to listening to your own body. Just like our body tells us when we need more water, mm-hmm. your body's going to tell you when it needs more salt.
Because so you're saying salt the food as much as you like without really paying attention, you're saying?
Yeah, listen to your salt cravings 100%, because you could be someone that doesn't absorb salt well because you have damage to your intestines, or you might spill salt out your kidneys because you have damage to the kidneys, and someone could be looking at you and you could be eating a mouthful of salt, but that's because you're not absorbing it and you're losing it in the urine. Okay. So you should listen to your body when it comes to your salt intake.
But let me ask you this, Dr. James D. Nicol Antonio with us. The book is The Salt Fix. We've been around, what, as a species for millions of years, right? So how did we survive all those years without all the salt?
That's a great question. We had the salt in the animals that we used to consume. We used to eat the entire animal, the salty blood, the salty skin, the salty organs, the salty interstitial fluid. One deer has 30 days worth of a normal salt diet that we eat normally today. So if you killed one deer back in the evolutionary period, that's 30 days worth of a normal salt diet. But the problem is we're getting a dry piece of meat at the supermarket, there's no blood, blood's been removed, salty interstitial food's been removed. You got to add the salt back.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, you talked about the reduction in blood volume without salt. So is it true if you consume a lot of salt, you are going to retain water in general?
No, what happens is, and for most people, so 80% of people with normal blood pressure have no actual increase in their blood pressure when they restrict their salt intake. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are a subset of people that actually their blood pressure skyrockets when they cut their salt intake.
Okay.
And so what happens...
But what about water retention in general? How does salt play a role there?
No, your kidneys can get rid of over 10 times the normal salt intake. You got to remember, for the last 8,000 years, we used salt as our main food preservative. We only just got rid of salt in the diet with the invention of the refrigerator. So it's been shown in studies our kidneys can handle at least 10 times the normal salt intake. They will just literally not reabsorb the salt and let it just pass in the urine. So you don't normally get, a normal person will not get water retention if they overconsume salt. The kidneys will just get rid of the extra salt it doesn't need.
Let me ask you this, because I've heard criticism about our current salt, that it's somehow been stripped of certain nutrients and other minerals that are important. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a great point. So I have a table, a comparison table in my book, The Salt Fix, going through some of the most common salts that people use. And I have a nutrient like analysis of the different minerals in table salt versus sea salt versus, you know, Hawaiian sea salt and black
lava
salt.
What kind of salt should you be consuming?
Yeah, I have my number one recommended salt in my book. I can't give that one away, but really, you do want to try to avoid the table salt. You want to go for those natural high mineral sea salts. They'll have iodine and other minerals like magnesium and calcium in there that's been removed in regular table salt.
Yeah, because we'll see regular table salt. They say iodine is added, right? We see that. Is that good?
Not always. You got to get the actual table salt that says it has iodine added to it.
Now, if you've been eating normal salt without the additional minerals, what does that do to you?
Well, it's better than not having any salt, as I covered all those harmful effects if you're not getting any salt. The table salt that most people are consuming, it has some anti-caking agents to prevent the salt from clumping. It has sometimes sugar, dextrose added to it. And the processing, there's some high heat processing to it, and it is bleached white. Real salt is not white. It sometimes is a grayish color, a pinkish color. So, you know, there are some advantages to why you want to buy just a natural mineral sea salt versus just regular table salt.
Pink Himalayan salt, I always hear that that's something special, is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it is, but in my book, I have a better recommended salt because Himalayan salt is about 10 times as expensive as table salt, and people need to get something that's a little bit more reasonable and that has a lot more stable amounts of iodine in it. So I have my number one recommended, but I do think Himalayan salt is definitely better than regular table salt.
Okay, now, if you're chronically ill right now, what's going to happen to you if you start dramatically increasing your salt intake?
If you're chronically what?
If you're ill right now, if you're not feeling well in general, what happens to you if you really start dramatically putting more salt into you?
Yeah, so I mean that's a hard question, right? Because it depends on what disease states you have. So if you're ill, most people that are ill are hospitalized with low sodium levels in their blood. It's the most common electrolyte abnormality in both the inpatient, which is someone who's hospitalized and ill, and outpatient settings, meaning someone who's living at home. So it's never made any sense for population-wide sodium restriction when literally low sodium in the blood is the most common electrolyte abnormality in America. So over 6 million people have this every year.
Increasing salt intake, does it help with cardiovascular issues or intestinal issues?
It absolutely can. So salt is composed of sodium and chloride, and our hydrochloric acid that allows us to digest food and prevent bacterial overgrowth. We need that hydrochloric acid, and the chloride in hydrochloric acid comes from salt. So if you're not getting enough salt, you might not be producing enough stomach acid to digest food, absorb minerals, and prevent bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah, what have your fellow doctors thought about your book?
Well, I mean, I work with a lot of cardiologists. And a lot of them who work closely with me actually agree with me once they review the literature. I mean, my book, The Salt Fix, has over 500 references showing why we have it wrong. And I am the associate editor of a major cardiology journal called BMJ Open Heart. So I've been doing this for a while now, and we definitely have a lot of supporters out there. There's always been skeptics of the low-salt advice. Mm-hmm. Any person who's into fitness will tell you they sweat a ton of salt out, and it's never made sense for them to consciously restrict their salt mm-hmm. intake. Because I almost passed out one time when I didn't dose myself with salt before I worked out. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely important, certainly as well, for fitness aspects.
One last thing. How do you dose yourself? Do you just put it in water? How do you get the salt in?
Yeah, what I normally do is I'll take like a half a teaspoon of salt and I'll kind of dilute it in a little bit of lemonade or orange juice. You can do lemon juice, lime juice. Some people like to do pickle juice.
In orange juice, you'll put salt in orange juice.
Yeah, you can do it in orange juice.
And it tastes good.
Lemonade is probably my number one recommended way to do that.
Does it taste I'm getting used to or that taste? Or?
No, I mean...
Salt and lemonade. I've never heard of salt and lemonade. I'm going to try it, though. That sounds like a...
You should try a little salt in your coffee, too. It cuts the bitterness out.
There you go. Dr. James D. Nicolantonio. The brand new book is The Salt Fix. The Salt Fix. It will completely change your mind on the myth of low salt. TheSaltFix.com is the website. Dr. D. Nicolantonio, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Thank you.